Testing. Testing. Fuck, here we go. My name is Thomas, and this is Walk and Talk. I think it's number 4. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit upset right now. Whew. Okay. Let's talk this out. So, yesterday I talked a bit about consistency and building a ritual and trying to say that breaking up the ritual might be a good thing so as not to be bound by it and not be restricted when the ritual breaks. And today it's Saturday, which means no kindergarten, kids at home, wife is at home, and I'm at home. And because of that, no gym. Which I thought, okay, I'll deal with this. I can work with this. Let's go into the garden. My wife wanted to go to the zoo, and I was like, yeah, well, that is too many people, too much of an outing. I'd rather just stay at home and take it easy. And if we go in the garden, I actually might be able to do some gardening work and get a workout by being in the garden, which to some degree actually did work out. And then unfortunately, when we're approaching lunchtime, My wife, when she came home yesterday, she was out late. She was at a show, and she had to take public transportation back, and it kind of didn't work out as she planned. So she ended up leaving the car at the train station, and we agreed that I should walk and pick up the car at some point, which is about half an hour walk, and I could do my walk and talk there. Everything should work out perfectly. I get some physical exercise by being in the garden. I get time to do the walk and talk. And then life happens. And I feel like a fucking asshole for being upset about this, because what happened was this. We figure out that my sister's partner's father died of cancer this morning. Which is horrible. But I mean, we knew it was coming. He's been dying of cancer for years now. So it wasn't a surprise, and we knew he was doing really badly. So, I mean, it was in the cards. But my wife definitely just wanted to go, even though we planned not to go and see them for a while. And my immediate response was, yes, we should go and visit and support them, even though I definitely didn't feel like it. And we're not, because they don't want us to come over. They just want to be by themselves for at least today. But my wife was definitely upset about the whole situation. And our daughter seemed less inclined to go down for her nap. I don't know if she's feeling some of the emotions that's going around about family member dying, but whatever's the case, she started acting up a little bit, and my wife started saying, okay, maybe we should, instead of walking with her in the pram to get her to fall asleep, we should drive with her in the car. Oh shit, that's her. Okay, I'm so sorry. I have to stop this. Yeah, she just wanted to let me know to come back because she doesn't have house keys and she's out walking the child to sleep right now. And I'm heading to pick up the car. So I'm walking back now. Shit. Okay. I can do this. Anyways, with everything going on, I was like, why don't you just take the kid for a walk in the pram, see if she falls asleep. If she doesn't, that's okay. She's on the brink of, I mean, she turns 3 in 2 months, so she might not go down for a nap. She does that sometimes. And she becomes very difficult in the afternoon, but that's just how it is. And I said, I told her, I really want to go and pick up the car, do the walk and talk. You can go and like try and walk the kids to sleep, and I'll do my thing. And she looked at me with those eyes, and I just shriveled to nothing. Like, taking care of myself, or fucking asking permission to take care of myself, was denied by her whole physical appearance, even though she said, oh, that's where we are. Go do your thing. I'm like, that is so unhelpful. I mean, it destroys the whole meaning of trying to take care of your fucking self if the person you rely on the most regards this as a burden. And I know it's not easy if you're in a relationship with a kid and you rely on each other to help each other out. But if you're met, or at least that's how I feel, if I'm met with this like nonverbal abuse, this like disgust, or whatever the fuck it was, it might just be her being disappointed that I'm not there to help her out in this moment, but it burned me to the fucking core. And I really just wanted to do a nice talk and just talk about something positive today. And now I feel how my shoulders are up against my ears, my solar plexus is tightening, my whole physical body is telling me that everything I'm doing right now is fucking wrong and I shouldn't be doing this. And I mean, how the fuck are you supposed to take care of yourself if your whole body is telling you that what you're doing is wrong? I don't know. And it's such a simple little thing. It's not like I'm asking for something crazy. I'm just asking to take a walk. That's it. Nothing else. All right. I'm back home. I'm going to drop off some keys. I'll leave them in her boot, which is outside the back door. That's gotta be good enough. Safe enough. Alright. I'll just text her. Okay. Here we go. Keys. Keys are in your boot by the back door. Send. Oh, for fuck's sake. I don't know if I want to scream or cry right now. Let me guess, this is what it feels. Breaking the ritual. This is what it feels by being denied permission to help yourself. This fucking sucks. This fucking sucks big time. I really wish that I wish there was an easier fucking way of doing this, an easier way of communicating how this works and how it feels, and the fact that me not being able to talk about this, except for with you. I... Holy fucking shit. I mean, if I could sit down and make a schedule, just put it in the calendar. Thomas needs to walk. Needs to be happening at this hour or whatever. Or he falls apart emotionally and breaks down mentally and wants to jump in front of a fucking car. But I am not there. And unfortunately, and I tried to talk to my therapist about this, sometimes I don't know these things in the moment. And it takes me a little while to realize what's going on. And it's one of those things that are, I think that's why I need these walk and fucking talks, is that it helps me put words to the stuff that I'm feeling. It helps me to mull things over, because I don't really have the possibility of talking to anyone but you. And if I try and talk about these things, eventually it becomes a dialogue. And nothing wrong with that, but I don't really need a dialogue right now. I need to make sense of this on my own terms, in my own time. And it's like I wish it was easier to just say, okay, I need a timeout. But when you have a 2-year-old, soon 3-year-old kid, and that kid is screaming, being tired, not wanting to eat, whatever. I mean, toddlers are fucking impossible. Everyone who has a child knows that. And you need to make split-second decisions when you're dealing with a kid. Otherwise, you might end up with a tantrum so bad that you don't know how to get out of it. Or, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. There's so many things that can go wrong if you don't respond correctly to a kid within a few seconds. And dealing with the emotions that I'm dealing with takes usually longer than a few seconds. And if I'm not allowed to try and comprehend what's going on, all I feel is this burning anger that something is wrong, and I'm doing it wrong, and I'm feeling it wrong, and stuff is just not working out, and I don't know how to turn that around. Especially not within a few seconds. But how do you call a timeout? I mean, how are you supposed to just say, okay, screaming kid, emotional wife, go take a little break in the garden while I mull about my fucking feelings, and as a handicapped, emotionally handicapped white male, I don't have the tool set to access those emotions within a fucking split second. Let it go. What was it I said the other day? Use your heart, not your head. Use the heart, not the head. I mean, I love those two to pieces. I really do, and that's also why it's so painful when I do something that disappoints them. And it's not anger towards them, it's anger towards me. It's me feeling incompetent. That's what's making me angry. It's I am somehow choosing the wrong paths, saying the wrong things, and that makes the situation worse. But at least I'm standing my fucking ground. At least I am doing the walk and talk today. And I probably need to talk to my wife about the fact that I need to do it tomorrow as well. Come rain and storm, or people dying, I need a half hour to talk to myself. Okay. Let's just breathe. Let it go. It was a momentary lapse of whatever. And all that happened was her being disappointed that I was stepping out and leaving her to deal with the kid on her own, which she is perfectly capable of doing. And I think maybe it's time to talk about that a little bit. Because I'm guessing that's also a major issue that I have to deal with. It's like, sorry, the wind is hitting the microphone real badly. I'm trying to shield it a little bit with my hand. When my wife was pregnant with our kid, she had a terrible, terrible time. She encountered, I'm saying we because that's the politically correct way of talking about these things these days, I'm guessing. She had a nervous system malfunction, they think. A disalignment of the way her body was operating and the hormones of the pregnancy, which resulted in her trembling like someone having a seizure. Not full blown like the whole body, but more like epilepsy, like her arm shaking or her leg shaking, or eventually her neck or her stomach. And it was a nightmare because no one knew what was going on. Also, she was having nausea while all this was happening. Like, there's a few percentage of women who get nausea throughout the pregnancy and not just in the first few months. And she had that. On top of the shaking. And the medical system kind of gave up on us and said, as far as we can tell, with all the scans, you're not having aneurysms, your brain is not being damaged, your heart is not being damaged, the kid is growing fine, all your blood tests are coming back fine, so everything's fine. Except for the fact that they kind of instilled this little fear in us that they've never seen this before, they have no clue what's going on, and if it gets different or worse, we shouldn't hesitate by calling an ambulance and coming into the hospital right away. So that was happening. And throughout that, her mental state deteriorated. Not that she got upset or sad. I mean, she got upset and sad that she wasn't having a beautiful pregnancy like you're supposed to have, like society teaches you and people on Instagram and social media will tell you, oh, you should do this and you should be able to run and power women who are pregnant can do all sorts of things while they're pregnant. And she obviously was upset that she wasn't a power woman who could do all these things, but basically was bedridden from the almost first month. And not just bedridden, I mean, I had to physically carry her around for doctor's visits. I had to carry her from the bed to the toilet whenever she had to go. And something happened with her. She started exhibiting behaviors like someone who had head injury or PTSD. Like, stuff was triggering her, and she was, her mood was changing in a way that was much more abnormal than what you're told can happen during a pregnancy. So for 9 months, I took care of her. Everything. Like, everything. I had to think for her. I had to move for her. I had to feed her, bathe her, clean up after her when she peed her pants because she was puking so hard. Nonstop. 9 months. While going around with the fear that either she or the baby might not survive it. 9 months of that. So, when I say I have to trust that she can take care of the kid on her own, it's a spillover from that time. Even though it's like almost 3 years ago, I still sometimes see that woman who almost didn't know who she was anymore, that needed physical assistance with everything she did. And I can't shake the feeling that if I step away, if I do something for myself, that's the woman I'm leaving behind. That's the woman I'm leaving behind to take care of my kid. And I know it's stupid, and I know it's like, it's something that I have to let go of because she isn't that woman anymore. But for fucking 9 months, that was how my world was. And I didn't know during those 9 months whether it would stay that way or if it would come back to some sort of normality. So for her to look at me with discontent or remorse or hatred or anger or whatever was in her eyes when I told her, I am sorry, but I need to step away and do my walk and talk today. At least do that. To just keep the good thing going that is helping me. And then encounter that resistance and having to walk away and watching her being angry at a level where I don't know if she's going to take that anger out of on our kid. I mean, I've seen her when she's emotional, and it spills over. It does for everyone. If you get angry, if you get upset, it spills over. And how am I supposed to walk away from something like that, even though it's just to take a half hour walk? Sorry. Shit, my shoelace is untied. Doesn't matter. Keep walking. Fuck it. Let's talk about something else. Yesterday, I had a nice little experience. I uploaded episode 2 of this to the podcasting service. And just for the fun of it, I tried to listen to it. I was alone. Daughter is asleep, wife is out at the show, and I thought, why not? Let's listen to it and just see what happens. And I actually, it felt nice. It did. It wasn't hard to listen to. I mean, it's my thoughts. They're mine. And the strange thing happened while I was listening. It took about 5 minutes or so for it to kick in, but I started walking. It started as a restlessness, just sitting and listening to the walk and talk. And then I figured out it's because I'm not supposed to sit still while having these thoughts. And for the rest of the walk and talk, I walked around my living room. And it felt really good. It felt right. And I'm guessing it's just the way my system operates. These thoughts are connected to my legs. And sitting still while having these thoughts, even just having them retold by listening to me talking, I'm not meant to sit still while having those thoughts. So no wonder that I can't access these thoughts and emotions by sitting still and thinking. There's no wonder that I felt that sitting and meditating wasn't doing anything for me. It's like I might access something else if I try and do that. I have before tried to welcome stillness, but this, like, contemplating things, trying to figure things out, it's so weird how it just felt so weird how my legs just started moving almost by themselves. And I noticed it because I was sitting and listening for 5 minutes, and I just had this crazy restlessness, and I just went up and started doing things, like walking back and forth and kind of twitching, like not like shaking like my wife did during the pregnancy, but just this like need to move, touch, like not sit still. And I was just like, oh, I need to walk. This is so, I'm listening to my walk and talk. I need to walk. And for the last 20 minutes of that walk and talk, I just circled the living room and felt great. And it was nice, actually, being able to hear your own thoughts spoken out loud to yourself. It's very interesting. I encourage people to try and do the same. It might help. It's actually a nice day. It's sunny. It's warming up. Spring is coming. Birds are tweeting. People are out riding their motorcycles or driving crazy in their cars, having a good time. And it was actually, it actually wasn't too bad digging around in the garden, getting exhausted, sweating, and just doing that instead of the gym. Not a bad thing. It was different. Didn't have the same focus. Also because kid and wife was in the garden too, so they constantly broke my focus, but I had a pretty good time. And it is a pretty nice day. And perhaps just acknowledging that I did the right thing. Contrary to what I felt in the moment that I walked out of the house, I did the right thing. I am walking and I'm talking. And I'm trying to push my shoulders down. And I'm still having an untied shoelace. Haven't stumbled yet. And the cars are going crazy and the wind is blowing, and hopefully this will be able to be listened to without giving you too much of a headache. But at least, yeah, there you go. Listen to the birds. That's a nice sound, isn't it? Yeah. Doing the right thing. And my wife will survive that I am difficult. And my kid will survive that I'm not there for nap time And my sister and her husband will survive. That I am emotionally unavailable. The world keeps turning. The birds keep tweeting. And the air keeps flowing. And Thomas keeps walking. There we go. That's what's happening. Thomas keeps walking, and the world minds its own business. I'm sorry that this was a bit of a different episode. I hope I haven't offended anyone by having an outburst like this. But that's what life is. Also, I have no idea if anyone's listening to this other than myself, so maybe I should apologize to myself if I put you in a bad mood by being emotional like this. I will leave you with the sounds of cars and nature for a little bit, and then I'll switch it off. Thank you for listening, if you're listening. Otherwise, be safe in my pocket. Bye-bye.